One of the themes that actually I've been hearing from our other speakers is pivoting. So Jennifer said, learn to pivot. Bhavan said, what are you asking questions about? Alessandro talked about pivoting in terms of climate change and some of the impacts that we're seeing. Here we go. I see the share content now. So I was ready to pivot quickly and have no slide at all. However, we will continuously adjust, which is critical in this time. So hopefully everybody can see my slide here. All right. So I've been with Options Clearing Corporation for almost 4 years, and OCC is the largest equity derivatives clearing organization in the world. We're the only organization in the United States that clears and settles every listed options trade in the country. So if you've not heard of us, you can take a look on our website, theocc.com. A lot of great information about our industry, about the businesses, and some of the partnerships. I am happy to say that OCC is in a continuous transformation mode. So what is really critical for us in this business and in this time is to be ready to pivot and to be ready to ensure that we are clearing and settling contracts on time, at the agreed upon price, and with the agreed upon terms and conditions. What we did never have an opportunity to do is stop our hiring, because OCC, as a systemically important financial market utility, has got to remain operational. We've got to continue to do our work daily without exception. We do have several primary regulators. So the Securities and Exchange Commission, which you've heard about today, is one of them, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, whom Alessandro represented today, are all primary regulators for OCC. So that means we had to figure out pretty quickly how we could continue to hire and onboard, given that we have had a number of positions that we needed to fill even during this pandemic time. I'm proud to say that our team has actually onboarded 62 people since March 17th of 2020. That is actually the last day that we physically had people in the office. It's the last day we actually welcomed a new employee face-to-face. And since then, we have conducted 10 virtual onboarding sessions. We have interviewed over 300 people through WebEx and video connectivity, and we've been able to successfully maintain our pipeline and keep the hiring engine going. It's not been easy. I don't want to say that we've been able to do it flawlessly without any learning along the way, but what we have learned are a couple of key items that are really important to us. So what we've done first is thought about environmental cues. Right now, I cannot see anybody in the audience, right? I'm sure that some of you can see me, hopefully everyone can see me, but I don't have that feedback loop of seeing your reactions, your expressions, hand movements, right? I can move my hands, but it doesn't look quite right on a video screen. So what we've had to learn to do is to be flexible, patient, and creative. We actually put some guidelines together to help people who are interviewing at OCC. In addition, we've had to make sure that things are working actually as they're supposed to. So prior to today's session, for example, John Lothian and the team held a practice session where we all verified that we were visible, that the technology was working, and we thought about backup options in case any of the above stopped functioning as expected. That's critical when you're preparing for a virtual interview. What we do at OCC now is we'll provide calendar invitations and contact information. So if you are interviewing, it's already a pretty stressful time. We don't want people to have to worry about what if I can't dial in, what if the webcam doesn't work. We've got to be a lot more transparent and a lot more communicative than we would in a face-to-face environment where we are not necessarily dependent upon outside cues. The other piece for us too that we found out is technology is temperamental, right? So we saw an example. It sometimes can be user error. Right? The user may not necessarily be familiar with the technology. A lot of companies use Zoom. Some companies use Microsoft Teams. Some companies use Skype, FaceTime, whatever it may be. But what's important to do if you're preparing for an interview, which I'm sure many of you will be in short order if you're not doing this now, is you want to check the technology. So if you think about prior to cities and countries being locked down, you might take a look at a map and figure out how you're going to get to an office for an interview. You might check a train or a bus schedule. You might check an Uber or figure out where you're going to park when you arrive. And you're going to do that in advance of actually showing up so that you're prepared, so that you're on time, and you may look for an alternate route. What's really important here is if you're planning for a virtual interview via video conference, or maybe even you have to record answers to questions. There's some technology that makes you do that. You want to make sure that you're going to plan your connection. So check that your devices are fully charged. Check that you have a clear signal. You want to check that you have an opportunity to go somewhere with minimal background interference. If you live with other people, perhaps see if there's a way that you can agree to have some private space for yourself during the interview time, right? If none of those are an option, you can always be transparent to the person who's interviewing you, again, flexible and adaptive, and let them know, hey, if you hear some background noise, I apologize. I've got parents, siblings, roommates, what have you, who may be involved and may distract us a little bit during the conversation. There's nothing wrong with that, right? We are not in what I would call any type of usual times. And as a result, even within our own organization, the sounds of dogs barking in the background, the songs of children contributing to conversations, occasionally they'll pop up on a video screen. That for us is not a disruption. It's the reality of what we're working with today, right? And just to back up, I started my career and actually ended up accidentally in the recruiting business back in 1996. I used to get involved in international affairs and I ran foreign exchange programs in the early 1990s. And when I started, there was no internet. There was no LinkedIn, there was no Google, none of what we take for granted today. And as a result, we constantly had to pivot and we had to think about new modes of operating because we didn't know what would happen on a face-to-face basis. So the big change today is we've got society undergoing transformational change, right? We've got social upheaval, we've got significant challenges in terms of representation. And I appreciate what Bhavan has said and I appreciate what other speakers have mentioned. Whether it's FinTech in Action or the Greenwood Project, OCC also is highly committed to inclusion and diversity. And one of the ways that we are making sure that we can do this is to ensure that our technology and our connection to people who may want to be part of our business are seamless. We make it as easy as possible, right? The final thing that's really important I want to mention is if you think about how you're engaged in a virtual session, the nonverbal cues, as I mentioned earlier, may be missing or may be tough to figure out. You might have video freezing, you might have other things taking place. What we always want to recommend is that you'll want to think about how you are engaging with people. So I've been interviewing folks for many, many years. I probably have interviewed over 10,000 individuals in the last 20 plus years. And one of the things that always stands out to me is the types of questions people ask, how people are curious about your organization, how people are curious about the job, right? Engagement in the past may be natural banter about the weather, it may be back and forth about the office environment, all of that's missing now. You've got a lot more direct technical interaction, people under different stresses. I think that you'll find that people are certainly behaving in unusual manners in some cases, but differently than they might behave when they're in a structured office environment, because there are distractions in the home front or what have you. The other piece to consider though is, I've seen so many qualified candidates, especially people who are just starting their career. When we ask the famous, what questions do you have about OCC? There's silence, right? It's easy to find out information. It's easy to prepare with a couple of basic questions, right? You can ask, geez, I see OCC cleared 26 million contracts yesterday, and I'm rounding down. It was 26,967,853, but OCC cleared over 26 million contracts. Geez, how do you do that? What does it take, right? That shows you're paying attention to the company. I didn't even have to navigate far into our website to see that. It was on the front page. So little things like this make a big difference. Make sure that you are proactively engaging. Take time to do your research. It's all out there. If you belong to alumni organizations, if you've graduated from college, or if you're currently in high school or you're attending college at the moment, talk to people in your industry, network, right? Reach out. I'm available on LinkedIn. I accept all invitations. Reach out. Let's connect. Let's have a dialogue and talk about what interests you. Those are all ways that you can show your engagement. If you know nothing about the industry, you can be frank and say, I have no idea what a listed equity derivative is, but I'd like to learn. Can you please explain in short order what OCC actually does? Powerful question, powerful statement. So I think that this is a unique opportunity and a unique time in our history. We've all got the necessity to adapt. We've all been forced to change by circumstances. I think that society is forcing change as well, which is a wonderful thing. It's in this industry, I know I'm representative of the status quo, but I'll tell you that for me to see the diversity of thought, the diversity of background, the diversity of experience in the options industry is absolutely enlightening. I think that the mission of the Greenwood Project and the work that Peak Six and Jennifer and her team are doing are phenomenal. We're actually part of an initiative called the Financial Services Pipeline Initiative in cooperation with the Federal Reserve Board and a number of other financial services firms. And the mission of FSP is to increase the representation of Hispanic and African American individuals in the financial services industry. So I think that it's really important for all of us to be on board with this. It's not a corporate initiative and a press release. It's an active change in how we work together, an active change in expectations, an active change in sort of the assumptions we make about each other and about our business. So that's all I've got. And if there are time for questions later on, I'll be happy to take those.